Good evening, everybody. I'm nervous, so I'm putting it out there right now. And I feel like, you know what? I want to put it out there and say it and just allow myself to be nervous and let it be here and not try to pretend like I'm not, because I am. And so there you have it. Okay, so I am going to start with how I came to Zen. And sometimes I have a tendency to go all over the place when I tell a story, so bear with me. I had been in Alcoholics Anonymous for 20 years by the time I came to Zen. So I was very familiar with suffering and causing suffering to a lot of people. So, you know, in coming into Alcoholics Anonymous, I had to get to a place where I didn't know what to do. I had nothing left. I had tried to figure it out mentally, to come up with a way to manage my addiction of alcohol and drugs. And I couldn't do it. And I had tried, believe me, I tried. I had been in rehab when I was 20 years old. And it took me another 13 years before I came into AA. And there's a line in the big book, which I love, and it was true then, and it's still true today. And it says, we had to be beaten into a state of reasonableness. And I had to be beaten into a state of reasonableness. And I visualize it like a boxer in a ring, fighting, getting punched, knocked down, get back up, get hit again, knocked down. That's what my life felt like, over and over and over, until finally I didn't know what to do. I was at my wit's end. I just didn't know what to do. And I had no idea that that was the best thing that could happen to me, to be beaten over years into a state of, I don't know what to do. I need, please help me. And not have any idea, nothing left mentally of what to do. And that's how I came into AA. And I was in a place of surrender. I didn't decide to surrender. But I was there. And I had nothing left. And, you know, it's a miracle when I think about it, like, how did I get to Zen? How am I here? I feel like I've lived many lifetimes in this one little life. There's been so many lifetimes. And, I dabbled in Zen while I was in AA. You know, I had been up to Zen Mountain Monastery. I had done an introduction to Zen Weekend. I was studying the non-dual teachers like Ramana Maharshi and Nisargadatta and other non-dual teachers, and had different, you know, moments of clarity and awakenings, but I didn't have a teacher. And I would always end up back right here with me. I managed to stay clean and sober for 20 years. I am grateful for my time in AA and for the old timers who told me and taught me about courage and dedication and, you know, and curiosity and honesty. So how did I get to Zen? My mother died, and I was brokenhearted, absolutely brokenhearted. And, you know, I had been sober for many years. I wasn't thinking about a drink. It wasn't even an issue for me anymore. It had nothing to do with any of that. But I'm pretty much an all or nothing kind of girl. And I was obsessed with death. How could she be here and now she's gone? How is this possible? Where did she go? You know, and it was just I couldn't sleep. I was reading. I was, trying consuming anything I could find on YouTube, on whatever I could read, and try to find out about this question of death. And I found my way back up to Zen Mountain Monastery, and I spoke with the Roshi up there about becoming a student. And he said, "Where do you live?" And I told him Hackettstown. He's like, "Hackettstown? You're gonna come all the way up here? Don't you have a place closer to you?" And I was like, "I don't know. Maybe I do. I never really looked." So I started looking, and I looked online. And I saw the Morning Star, which is Jersey City. I know Jersey City. I used to live there. I saw the one in Montclair, and then the one in Morristown. And there was something about Roshi's face. And I said, "Ah, I'm gonna check this place out. I'm gonna go there." And I came there like a week or two before, my mom had just died, and little did I know the world was about to fall apart with COVID. You know what I'm saying? So I come to Empty Bowl, and I hear Sensei Michelle, and I was like, "Oh my God, I love her." I came home, told my husband, "I love her. I love this place. I feel this is, I, it just feels right to my heart to be here." And then everything was shut down and we're online, and I can't come. But thank goodness, you stayed afloat online, and here I am. And I'm still here, and I feel like it just feels right. It feels right in my heart, and I look at like, so why am I here? What is my intention? What is important to me? And there's nothing like death to call attention to life and what's important. And the evening gatha, how it talks about, time swiftly passes by and opportunity is lost, and each of us should strive to awaken. And those words just go right to my heart. And I'm like, the thing that keeps me here is life and living my life and truth and what is real. That is what keeps me coming. And I am so honored that Roshi asked me, even though I'm scared. But if it's one, I learned so much in AA, and one of the things I learned is, I cannot let fear, if I'm going to, be driven by fear, what is driving me? What is it? And it's like, okay, so I'm afraid, okay, I can be afraid and do it anyway. It's so funny because when I think about when I first came into AA, and they would go around the table and everyone would share, and I wouldn't share. I would not share. But I would walk into the projects in Newark, right, to get a bag of heroin. I would, but I would not share at that meeting because I was afraid. And it's just so crazy when I think about it. It's like, and I look at it like it's another lifetime. How am I here? How am I so lucky to be here? How am I alive? With everything that I've been through, I don't know, but I am, and I don't want to waste my life. My practice, so I sit zazen and I do it consistently, whether I feel like it or not. And sometimes I don't really want to do it, and I have other things to do, and I'm busy, but I do it anyway. And that was another thing I was taught in AA. It doesn't really matter how you feel, it matters what you do. And I, up until coming into AA, my life was lived by how I felt and what I thought. And so I feel like there was so much that I've learned, and it just puts me in such a great, it just helps me so much with life and with Zen, and I have a curiosity, and I'm willing to sometimes maybe look stupid and ask the question that I feel like maybe I should know this already. Maybe I'm gonna look stupid if I ask this question, Maybe I feel funny to share, but you know what? I don't want to waste my life. And I try to I approach Zen with curiosity. And I was working a little bit with Roshi with koans, and before we started a group of going through the precepts. And so we kind of put koans to the side, and the precepts have been incredible. And it's been almost a year now. We're done with our precept study. I'm still sewing my Roksu. Oh man, I had no idea what I was getting into with that. Talk about, my perfectionist tendencies coming out. Oh man, it's a lot. It's a lot. I'm getting there though. I'm getting there. And it's not perfect, but it's really good, and that's okay. And I think one of the most important things in going through the precepts is, for me, the emotion of anger has pretty much been my go-to. If I'm sad, I'm angry. If I'm scared, I'm angry. And if I'm angry, I'm angry. You know what I'm saying? I've come to see it as a doorway, that it's actually my way in. And and Sensei Michelle talks about this a lot, about being with it and allowing it and being curious about it and finding it in my body and living from the neck down. And I do it very imperfectly, and that's okay. It's all right. I feel like I'm becoming more gentle with myself because of Zen. And because of, all of you, and we're so incredibly fortunate to have Sensei Michelle and Roshi, I just feel like I'm drawn to be at the Zendo, and to be, to continue. I'm going to start studying koans again with Roshi. I absolutely love it. And I feel like, the most important thing is whatever insights I have, if I'm not bringing that into my life, then what is the point? With my husband, when he's irritating me, and he does, he's out there, but he does, right? And I irritate him too. And that's where it's okay, and looking at that thought that created this emotion, and oh, now there's this sensation and this reaction, and just looking at it for myself. I feel enthusiastic, and I just have this love of Zen, and sometimes think, God, I could have come here sooner. But you know what? I think I probably came at just the right time. It probably was just the right time. And I don't want to talk just to fill the time. And so I feel like my talk is winding down. But I am reading The Wholehearted Way. And there was something that, and I'm probably going to say it wrong, so if I butcher this name, forgive me, Uchiyama Roshi said, that struck me. And it's Uchiyama Roshi says that a bodhisattva is an ordinary person who has a direction towards Buddha. Direction is the vow to be a Buddha. And he says, our practice is not to eliminate our delusion, but to see it or become aware of it and let it go. And then we really become one with the Buddha way. Thank you.